thing. I think something we always were really adamant about with our music and just in general with ourselves was we don't want to be just good for a girl, we want to be good. We get asked our age a lot, which is fine, but I've never heard a boy band get asked their age. A lot of people ask about when are you guys going to stop and start thinking about having children, which I was like, well, can't you do both? Whenever people are embarrassed about things, I'm like, there's always probably going to be one story that is your most embarrassing. So anything that happens after that, it's not as bad. And this was my embarrassing story that I would never live down.
Hello and welcome to our special Under the Influence episode. On today's show, we speak to musician and media personality Ella Germain. Ella is one third of indie pop siblings Germain. The trio who grew up in the Adelaide Hills are taking the music industry by storm, recently opening for Little Mix and Ronan Keating. We spoke to Ella about how she got her big break, the challenges women face in the music industry, and what it's like to rub shoulders with your idols. Well, Ella, officially welcome to Outspoken. It feels weird talking to you formally because we've just had a lot of chat off mic that probably can't be aired. No. I just thought we might start off by actually talking about how we know each other, because I think it's kind of interesting how we all met, because you're obviously part of, three sisters, and we're three sisters, except Kate's not here. But yeah, so how did we all meet?
I think we had a mutual friend at Channel 7, beautiful Josephine Nieto. She was a camera woman there, and she was like, oh, you would love the Taubers. And we were trying to picture which sister would like had the similarity, because of us, obviously us three sisters and you guys. So I think I was teamed with you, Sophie. They're like, oh, like she's the girly girl. I'm like, I'm not that. But I feel like I've got a good connection with all three of you guys.
I think Josie said we were both boy crazy as well.
Oh my gosh, I am not. She just, Josie and I were like pals all through uni, and she used to just always be on, she'd hack into my Facebook and just chat to anyone, any man that was online or anything like that, or update my status with something embarrassing. So, and she used to always love giving me, staring me up a little bit about fellas, but that's all right. Yeah.
It definitely wasn't Sophie's musical ability.
No.
I don't know. I feel like a bit of an imposter sometimes with the music stuff, but yeah, we just go with it. So
I think
yeah.
You're being very modest.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I suppose we wanted to start off by asking you how you actually got involved in music. Like, was it a talent that your parents spotted really early?
Yeah, I think, well, my dad grew up playing in a jazz band with his brothers up on the farm on York Peninsula, and he always loved music. So as long as I can remember, we've always had music in our family, more of like a New Orleans sort of jazz style. And we used to go and watch dad play at like the Days on the Greens and stuff with his jazz band Gumbo Yeah. You should check him out. And I remember seeing them on Hey Hey at Saturday for the first time when we were kids, and it was so cool seeing dad on TV. I don't know if you remember that show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Lucky Duck. Yeah, oh, personal fave. Yeah, so we used to always watch dad and growing up, and it was a massive privilege when we turned 7 that we were allowed to learn a musical instrument, although I think Georgia started violin when she was 4, so and I wanted to play the cello. I saw the girl on the ABC ad playing the cello, and I'm like, I want to learn that. So we were really, that was something that was a massive privilege for us, and we learned all through school and used to do performances for our grandparents, and mum used to enter us in like a Stedfords and then make us busk in Harndorf for like lolly money. Like, not make us, she used to dress us up in old fashioned clothes, and we used to just say yes to whatever our parents asked us to do, but we obviously enjoyed it, and I think we made like $10 or something like in a couple of hours and bought like lollies. But back then you could buy everything, like 20 cent apples and things like that. So I think our brother ended up handing out lavender bunches and got the equal cut, and we thought that was pretty unfair. Oh. But yeah, so yeah, we've been playing music our whole life, and then did it all through school, and then my younger sister Georgia, she always had the biggest passion for it, and everyone was like, oh, you guys all play music, you should do a band together. And yeah, ended up, yeah, 10 years later, we're still doing it, but it's been really fun. So yeah, we've traveled a lot and seen lots of things, had some ups and downs, as no doubt we'll probably talk about today, but yeah, it was good.
And as well as obviously being in the Germain, it's Germain now, isn't it?
It's just Germain now. We were Germain sisters, but we were like, people know we're sisters and they can find out we're sisters regardless. But yeah, people still ask us if we were sisters when we were called Germain sisters. And we're like, we look pretty alike, but we're probably not like you guys were. You look really alike, but that's all right. Yeah.
Well, you also are on Totally Wild, were on Totally Wild. How did you manage both music and obviously journalism?
Yeah, so it was always a massive dream of mine to be on Totally Wild. That was like the dream job when I was a kid growing up, because I absolutely adore animals, probably an unhealthy obsession with animals, but yeah, growing up on a farm, we had lots of pets growing up, and but I absolutely love media and TV and film and all that sort of thing, so combining the two was really the dream job. And I applied when I was in year 12, and I didn't realize it was a full-time job. I thought it was just like, oh, you just do it on the weekends. And I got shortlisted, and then ended up realizing it was, I was still at school, so I couldn't do that, not that I was selected anyway, but and then I think I auditioned two or three more times, because I just, I was like, no, I'm going to do it one day. And I did a film and TV course and did lots and lots of free presenting work and work experience all through uni, and then ended up getting the job out of, I think it was about 600 girls, the producer said. So, and then the next week I was moved up to Brisbane and started up there. So that was a massive, yeah, that was a big part of my life that I was super proud of, but also came to a bit of a crossroads, because we'd just been booked a tour of China and also Germany, so I obviously couldn't do both. But they were really good with me and let me go away for those trips, but in the end I sort of had to make that choice. But I had an amazing time with the crew at Channel 10, and they were really lucky. I was really lucky, sorry, to be able to come back as a freelancer back in Adelaide between tours, and met lots of friends there as well. So it was really, really good experience. Yeah, it was tough though, definitely, on the band that time, because yeah, it was two amazing opportunities and I sort of had to choose which one to do. But yeah, I was lucky enough to keep going with the presenting and yeah, and still doing music, so yeah.
And talking about your bandmates, I can understand being, you know, even just working on this podcast with Sophie and Kate, we have the odd argument.
Yeah.
What is it actually like writing a song with your sisters?
Well, Georgia has always been, she's extremely talented, always been the songwriter in the group. And she is really, really skilled at that sort of thing. And we all sort of bring our own sort of vibe to it. But in the last couple of years, we've probably had a bit more input with it, especially recently. That was sort of the aim for this year, to do a lot more songwriting together. So I think it's such a personal thing, and you're being really vulnerable when you're writing songs, because it can be anything from a relationship or something you've experienced or seen firsthand, and bringing that to your sisters. Like we're all very, we all get along super well, but we also have our own private like things going on as well, so opening up to each other sometimes can be a bit scary. I don't know if you guys are the same, would you say, or maybe?
I think yeah, sometimes there's parts of your life that you do want to keep separate and private, yeah, perhaps with relationships.
Yeah,
so I feel like you guys are so different though.
Yeah so we've all, I think we've all got different, and so it's quite a vulnerable thing, so it's sort of scary coming to the group and being like, oh, I wrote this song, and then we're like, oh, is that about so-and-so, or like, but yeah, recently we've just sort of had to nip that in the butt, and yeah, just, you know, and it's, and as you get older I think you become less scared about that stuff, and the more you keep doing things, it's not as scary. Like, it's always scary the first time. But yeah, we have had a few arguments, but we, like, you guys would be the same. Like, I think there's no better team than working with your family sometimes, because you do go off the charts, like probably yelling or whatever, but then you, like, an hour later you'll probably say sorry, or you'll just move on and be like, oh, what's for dinner, like, you know what I mean? Exactly. So, and especially when we've been touring on the road for up to a couple of weeks and even months, like sharing beds and not having any privacy, you just sort of, you just get so used to it, and there's no other way than to just get on. So yeah.
How did the dynamics work there? Because I know with three it's kind of hard, because two tend to gang up. Do you guys have that issue?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Like, I always feel like I'm like, oh, middle child syndrome, because I'm the middle out of the three of us, but we're only like 14 months apart anyway. But sometimes I think it depends. Like, I don't like to be too early to things, whereas the girls like to be nice and early and prepared, which is actually probably the best way to be. But I get too nervous. Like, for instance, when we were doing the Little Mix tour, we had 15 shows with them, and we were always, the girls were made sure we were at stage at least 25 minutes, 30 minutes beforehand, just to prep and be aware of the space, which was really good. But for me, I get so nervous just standing still. I need to be busy. So I'm like backstage just pacing around and doing exercises and stretches and just thinking about something else, because I just don't like being too early. So I think they get annoyed with me with that. But yeah, I think we all have our strengths and weaknesses. But yeah, not too much ganging up, which is good. And we have our tour manager Bethany, who's from Canada as well, and she sort of evened that out as well. There's four of us girls on the road, so it's good now.
And as you touched on before, you guys have recently come off touring with Little Mix, and you also toured with Ronan Keating.
Yeah.
How did those opportunities come about?
Yeah, we were super lucky, like, but also like through a lot of hard work. And I think we've always said, like, if you put yourself in an opportunity, things can happen. So we yeah, like we started by traveling overseas. We record our first album in Ireland with the guy that produced The Cause, because they're three sisters and someone's like, you should do that. And that was ended up being amazing. We made so many friendships through that, and then ended up going to Germany. And then Mum used to always, Mum was our manager, and she still does a lot of management duties for us now. She's very Kris Jenner, but maybe not as glamorous, but she's still lovely and sweet and makes lots of muffins for all the radio stations when we go through. She's amazing though, and she's been one of probably the best influences in our lives, with just keeping so supportive, and she's always been there for us. Like, some parents are like, go off to uni and get a proper job, but she's like, no, like, be a musician. I'm like, Mom, it's so hard. She's like, it's okay. Like, and she's always been so proud and supportive of us. So and she used to say, like, the worst someone can say is no, so why don't, she used to just email everyone. She's like, hey, you've got this amazing girl band from Australia, how would you like them on your festival? And this fella one day was like, oh yeah, sorry, this guy that's he's been an amazing support for us, runs a big festival called the Isle of Wight in the UK, and he was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then through that, he put us in contact over the next couple of years with that Little Mix and Ronan Keating, and yeah, through that it's just sort of built from there. So we're just really, really lucky. But yeah, you sort of have to just put yourself in those situations to get noticed, and like, you never know who's in the audience. Like, Mum used to always say that, even when we were playing to like three people at like a old pub or something like that. She's like, you never know who's there. But it's really true. Like, a lot of the things and a lot of our successes has come from just, you know, keep going. It's always going to be hard, but you're never losing if you're still in the race. Like, as soon as you quit, that's when it stops. But yeah, so I think our tour managers always say, you never lose if you don't quit.
But that's so true. All you need is one yes.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's it.
So what was Little Mix like to work with?
It was amazing. It was so surreal. Like, we'd never done a tour of that level before. Ronan Keating was amazing, but we did that in Germany, and we did Boyzone as well in Australia and New Zealand, and they were such lovely guys. And Little Mix were lovely as well, but yeah, it was huge, because we were playing from anywhere between 15,000 to 32,000 a night, and just the go of it all was crazy. But yeah, they were really lovely, and like, yeah, they, obviously it's a lot different to what people think. Like, everyone was like, oh, you're hanging out and this and that, but because they're the main act, they've got a lot to worry about. So they've got to, you know, get all their they call it glam, when they get all their hair and makeup done, and also do all their voice warm-ups and things like that, and they have to prepare for their show as well. So we definitely saw them around, and probably more towards the end of the tour when things got a bit more relaxed. But they all had their dogs, which we thought was so cool, because in Australia you can't really have dogs inside, but they all had all their cute pooches running around, and Perry has this little dog called Hatchie that used to run around your legs, so that was cool. And then there was another band called Raksu, who were awesome. They were like kind of like a boy hip-hop kind of band, so we hung out with them a bit, and they were awesome. So it was just cool, like, meeting all these people, and even not even the bandmates, but the crew as well, like the people that do the sound and the lighting and the production, and even the caterers. Like, we'd have the same caterers each day. I'm like, oh, what's for dessert? That was probably our highlight of the tour, actually, is like, we had never tried banoffee pie before, so each day we were just always so excited to get off stage and go eat dessert, which is really sad, but it was also cool. Yeah,
I feel like you've also got to share your Little Mix story about the breakup.
I always say, like, it's, yeah, like, whenever people are embarrassed about things, I'm like, there's always probably going to be one story that is your most embarrassing, so anything that happens after that, it's not as bad. And this was my embarrassing story that I would never live down, but I don't get worried as much about stuff, because, oh, there was two things that happened on that tour, but one was, Jade, who is there, oh, she's one of their singers, as all of them are, but she has a nightclub in South Shields, and she invited us to, it was like one of the last shows of the tour, to the after party, and she's like, yeah, you guys are welcome to come, we've got a bottle of Prosecco at the table, and but like, over in the UK, they go out at like midnight, so we were all like so tired, we've been up all day, and our show was only at like 7, so, but we were like, nah, we should go, it'll be good networking, and it'll be fun, and you know, why not? So we got there, and yeah, like, we were sort of just like chilling around and waiting, and I'd had a couple of glasses of Prosecco. I definitely wasn't drunk or anything, but I was just sort of like, just a bit more relaxed than usual probably. And this club was really cool, but it had one of those hidden steps. I don't know if you guys have been, you know, when you just trip on something small.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw the Little Mix girls, and I'm like, I'll go up and say hey and say thanks for having us on the tour, and had a chat. And then I turn around and I'm holding my glass, and I just, this little step comes, and I just completely face planted. Like, it was like the worst stack you could ever see. And like, I just remember it. No one was around, so that's even worse. So you can't, like, you know when you just want to, like, laugh with someone and be like, hey, oh, how funny. But no one was around. They sort of, and they'd already, like, were about 10 meters away. So they were a little bit too far to help me up. And then I think some of the backup dancers came up and they're like, oh, are you okay? And then there's the security guard who was, he was like crying with laughter. I was so scared of him the whole tour, but he was actually like a big teddy bear. But he came up and he was like bawling with laughter. He's like, there's a step there. And I was like, I know. And he's like, but you didn't spill your Prosecco. So that's good. Cause it was literally one of those, yeah, horrible stacks. And then I just quickly ran back to the booth where we were and I'm like, no. But also cause I think I'd had a couple of drinks. Yeah. Celebrationary drinks, we weren't on it every night, just to put a little disclosure in there. But yeah, I think I wasn't as worried. And then we hit the dance floor off and had a really good night, and then we had a laugh about it the next day. We had to have our press photo with the girls and they're like, yeah, we saw you fall, we hope you were okay. I was like, yes, just my ego.
Is it the worst? You'd almost like them to pretend that they didn't see
yeah
you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah.
Do you know what, at least I feel like they'd think more highly of you, the fact that you just got up and kept, because didn't you say that then you hit the dance floor?
Yeah,
after the
I was just like, what, do you know what, the amount of things that had happened to me on stage, like when I have kicked, because I like to move around. If anyone's seen us play before, or if you ever do see us, I like to have a bit of a boogie, probably a little bit too much. And yeah, I'm very commonly kick the cord out of my bass, so then the sound stops and I'm like, the sound's not working. I'm looking at the sound guy like, what's happening? And we're getting meanwhile filmed on these huge TV screens, like out towards the crowd. And then I think someone was in the front row and they like literally did that, plug it in, like it's falling out. And I was like, oops. And so I'm just like dancing back to the cord and plugging it back in. But yeah. And there, so that was, yeah, that was another embarrassing moment.
At least you've owned them. You've owned them completely.
Well, especially on Totally Wild, that was actually probably one of the best preparing things for what was next to come in, like, my life with the career and stuff, because you're made to do the most silly things and act like a complete fool on TV. But the sillier and cornier is, I remember one of the guys, Seamus, who was one of the other presenters, he's like, the more cornier you are, the funnier it is for kids and stuff. So that was always good advice. And ever since like then, I think you just kind of, like, oh, just own it and go with it, because whatever. Yeah.
Now, not that we're talking about particularly glamorous moments for you overseas, but sure. But I suppose a lot of people would look at your Instagram and just see all the amazing things you've been doing.
Yeah.
Could you talk us through a little bit, I suppose, about what the reality of being on a tour in the UK actually is?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's it definitely is an amazing adventure, but it's not always like, I do a lot of Jermaine's Instagram and obviously my own as well, and I absolutely love photography, but so I try and take beautiful photos wherever we are, because I never know when I'll be back there again. So it's more as a bit of a memory as well, not trying to be showing off like, oh, this is where we are today.
But
Instagram's always the highlight, really.
Behind the scenes, for sure. It's definitely hard. Like, we're usually in a van for most of it, and we're all crammed in the back. Sometimes if it's a small car and we've only got a small tour, we'll have like drum kits on our laps and things like that.
So do you fly that all over?
We usually hire them, but we have all our gear and suitcases as well. So usually it's really annoying. I don't know how you girls would go doing it you like traveling with lots of, because I love traveling lots of outfits and things to wear, but the girls are very strict. That's another thing the sisters don't like. I like usually go over with the luggage, but they've probably been proud of me in the last couple of years. I've been better. But yeah, just, like the instruments get priority over weight in luggage. So you just have to be a very smart traveler, or else you've got more to carry. So yeah, it's not as glamorous as what people definitely think. And, you know, especially in Germany, I think you were asking if there was a few funny stories, but yeah, a lot of the venues, especially when we first started touring Germany, they usually have accommodation included, and some have been really nice hotels and things, and other times it might be someone's house, which we learned with a few of them. And we, I remember one place we stayed at, and I think we finished the gig at like 11 o'clock or something, and then they were like, oh, this is the accommodation. It was the attic of their house, and these people collected like these old fashioned dolls in the chairs. You know, these creepy like Chucky movie.
Yes.
And I remember they had just three mattresses on the floor, and then they had like these fox skins hanging, and I remember I was sleeping on the edge and there was this big animal skin next to me, and I remember like just as we were like going to, like lying down, I'm like, can I sleep in between you guys? And Claire and George are like, oh gosh, Ella, like, they're like, fine. And then the couple started playing piano at like 2 a.m. because they're like, oh, do you guys want to come jam? Like, just as we'd gone to bed, it was like this sort of creepy piano playing, and we're like, we're okay, like. So yeah, there's been some funny places, and other times like they've booked a hotel that's like only got one bed, so Claire and I have had to sleep on the floor. And not that Georgia gets priority, but like I think Mum was with us, so we're like, oh, Mum and Georgia can, because we sort of need Georgia to be fit and well, because she's sort of the leader of the group. So Claire and I were like, but we were like, fun. It's kind of like you feel like you're back a kid again. Like you feel like you're 10 years old having a sleepover. So we feel like it's always a lot of fun, but definitely not as glamorous as what it always seems.
And you guys have a huge fan base of young girls all over the world. What is it like to have such influence over them? And is it like something that's really special to you as well?
Yeah, a lot of it came from Little Mix, but we've had some people before that as well. And it's so beautiful seeing all these girls come together. And a lot of them, like, we didn't realize weren't actually friends prior. So they all sort of shared this common love of our band, and then made these little groups. I call them the Chippies, like, because we were saying how much we love hot chips. And then every time we see this hot chip guy, we all send each other a photo, because it's like this hot chip man that stands in, I don't know if you've seen it, he looks like he's almost smoking.
I think I know who you mean.
Yeah. We call him Mr. Chippy, and whenever we see him wherever over the world, like whether it's in Germany or the UK or Australia, we're like, oh, we found Mr. Chippy. Like, it's a weird thing that we all do. But also they're so sweet and lovely, and we've also got some guys as well, these two twin guys. Actually, they're amazing. They go to every single Little Mix show, and they came to all of our shows as well, and they give us like little presents, and just they're all so sweet. When we were in this Ed Sheeran competition to open for him, we got into the grand final, and one of the girls came to the show, and she bought us this book all filled with like beautiful notes and photos from like all the Chippies and all the group. Well, so it was so amazing, because sometimes I guess, like, especially with social media, or if you're not playing shows, you don't really feel like you have that connection with fans. And we more see them as friends as well, because we all give them hugs and stuff, and we see them, and it's always just so, we were so glad when we see them at shows, because like it can be very unfamiliar over in the UK, in a country that we've never been to before. So although we have been but don't have many friends and things like that, so when we see these guys come to our shows and out to like even our Christmas shows, it's so special for us. And yeah, just seeing them grow and support each other, and they've even started some of their own social channels helping each other out, and like they're all going through teenage issues, which we've been through and still probably go through similar kind of things. So I love like helping out with advice, and then they give each other advice and have this great support system. So that's probably been one of the most coolest and most probably special things about the group. Like whether we go massive or not, or just keep doing what we're doing, I think like, yeah, if anything, we're just so happy and so proud of these girls, and yeah, glad that we can be an influence on them as well. And they're like, yeah, and they're inspiring to us and make us keep going when we're having those tough days as well. So
did I see it correctly, did one of them get a tattoo of Jermaine on them?
Oh,
is that
maybe?
I think I saw it on one of your Insta stories. I was like, wow, that's a diehard.
Yeah, that is so cool. Yeah, like I think I know there was one girl that was going to get one done, and I think she did. Yeah, she did. Oh, Charlie. Yeah, from Germany. Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, that's she so got cool. that done. Yeah, that was, yeah, I hope it was all right. I think we've set on that logo now, so I think we're good. I know we've gone through a few different texts on that.
Lucky it wasn't sisters at the end of it now that you've changed. You would have probably felt the pressure to keep it that.
That's obviously an amazing supporter there, but do you have any fans that have gone a little bit too far, like any sort of stalker fans?
No, nothing that's made us uncomfortable. Like there's one fella in Germany who's called Sven, and his family are so they were really diehard from the first moment they saw us, when we were like in our, like, I think we were 19 or 20 when we first went to Germany, and they came to the show like not knowing us at all, and this guy decided he's going to be our fan. He's been so amazing. Like over the years, he gets a photo with us at each gig, and then he'll get a t-shirt printed with each gig that he's been to, and every time he comes to another gig, he'll add another date to this t-shirt or make more t-shirts. And recently when we were in Germany, he all gave us a t-shirt of each other, because he's like, I always wear a t-shirt of you, so here's sorry, this is a really bad accent, but here's a t-shirt here's a t-shirt of like you guys that you can wear. And he knows that we're vegetarian, vegan, like especially George's allergic to a lot, so he makes us these big beautiful cakes and muffins that are vegan.
Aww,
and
cute.
Yeah,
we'll probably be listening to this as well.
I hope so. Hi Sven. Yeah, he's so lovely, and they always help us pack up and stuff. So it's cool having these people all over the world that we've met through Muse. And yeah, like we've just been so lucky. And a lot of people have been so generous as well, because it's definitely an industry where it's got ups and downs financially and just like the mental strain of it. And sometimes not always staying at hotels can be hard. So we've got a lot of places that some lovely people that have helped us out with accommodation or let us stay in their homes and things like that to give us more of that home family vibe. So there's a beautiful couple in the UK that have put us up for a bit as well, and then a guy in Germany and all over the place. So if anyone's listening, thank you for that. So yeah, it's been great, that home and away from home kind of thing.
Well, talking about the fans, we do have some questions from the fans that they've sent in, so I think we'll probably get to them because obviously they want these answered.
Sure.
So one lovely fan wrote, what's your advice to keeping anxiety under control?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a huge sufferer of anxiety, and I think I've been since a young child. Like, I used to hate performing and would always cry before going on stage when I was a kid, which is quite strange that I'm doing this now. I never would have thought that. But
when you're on TV.
I know. It's so weird. I think I always wanted to, but I was just so shy and stage fright. There's a video of me crying in a clown costume with clown makeup on. Like, I was like, happy the clown, like running off stage at 10 years old. But I think like over the years, it's something that everyone goes through, but it's just about handling it. And I've just learned it's about how you sort of control the situation yourself. Like sometimes things are so out of your control, you can't do anything about it. But the best thing you can do is sort of just think about things that you can control and think about the emotions that you can control. But like for me on tour, I get extremely lonely. Like a lot of people see you're so busy and you're always around people, but sometimes you get home and you have no one to call. And if you're not in a relationship, you don't have that special person to, you know, just have a chat to, which I like absolutely love telling people how my day was and things. But if you don't have that, you can become extremely lonely. But I think it's just sort of making you enough and thinking of things that make you happy. So yeah, I think and just doing things that distract you. Like for me, I'd go for a walk, or like because I love photography, I'd go out and find something different to, you just really immerse yourself in the different areas that you're at. But yeah, I think anxiety is a hard one because it's a different case. It's different for everybody. But I think just taking big breaths and just thinking what you can control, think of the good things in your life, how happy and how lucky you are just to be alive and just to be able to do what you do. And then also helping other people, or maybe talking to someone else that has anxiety, because I think when you realize the more people that have it, you can share your stories, you realize you're not alone and everyone's got their problems. Like I remember reading something, if everyone threw their problems in a pile and saw everyone else's, they'd probably take theirs back because they, you know, each to their own. So yeah, that's probably my best advice.
It's a hard one, isn't it, though? Because I feel like so many people have anxiety or go through anxious thoughts, because even I'm always one of those people who second guess everything I say. And when you've got your sisters around, you can be like, was that all right that I said that? So I feel like everyone knowing that so many people go through it has to be some kind of
and
support,
having that support
like.
Base, I suppose, as well. Someone you can, you know.
A lot of people want to know when you're going to be back touring in Scotland, and also when you're coming to Switzerland.
Oh, that's nice. As soon as we can. I think we definitely have a little headline show again at the end of the year in Scotland. We had a good year last year, so we'll be back there again, which is going to give it a bit of time as well for some new music and things. And same with Switzerland. I think we'll be back doing the Cooler Schuller again, so I look forward to seeing everyone there.
This is a bit of a controversial question. Who's your favorite sister and why?
I don't know if you
it's so hard because I love both of them equally but in different ways. Claire is amazing. She's the oldest, not by much, but she's sort of the mediator and the calm one. I'll have to ask you guys this question too, because I want to know what the dynamics are in you guys. But Claire is sort of the mediator and the calm one of the group, and she sort of, if Georgia and I have creative differences, she usually thoughts of like, okay, so you're thinking this and you're thinking that, so why don't we do this? So she's really good. But then Georgia is just so ridiculously talented. I've never sort of met anyone, and I don't know if it's biased because she's my sister, but just the way she can play music without like reading music and just pick things up and just play things. You just ask her to play a song and she can do that, and the songs she writes are so clever and beautiful. So which is one of the reasons why I think I've stayed doing music, because it's so amazing working with her and just being part of it all, and it's quite special doing that as sisters. She's gonna like think this is hilarious because I would never say this to her face, so she's I would, but she'd also be like, hee hee, I've got this on tape now, when we're having fights. But yeah, so she's great, and she works really, really hard. So yeah, I think I love both of them. I've got another sister, Beth, as well, who is older, who I also love. Beth, if you're listening to,
I didn't know you had another sister. That's blowing my mind.
Yeah, we've got there's six of us in the family. So we've got Beth and Sam, and but she's got two beautiful children, and yeah, lives out on a farm in South Australia with her lovely husband. So yeah, but she's amazing as well, and Sam too, and then Charlie. So it's a big group of us.
So you love them all.
I love them all. Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, who do you love more than your sisters or Pacimo? Your
Pacimo. Oh my gosh.
So we've had a few people asking. This isn't just from me personally, because I also want to know about Pacimo, but Ella has an amazing, would you call it a pet or a rescue possum?
It's a rescue possum from Fauna Rescue. So when we had the Lobethal bushfires, I think it was, she was blown out of her mother's pouch and they couldn't find the mother, and she was still too young to be released. So I think she needed like her four feeds a day. And when I was actually doing Totally Wild, I did a story with Bev Langley from Minton Farm, who has a whole bunch of possums, and she gave me a couple of rescues and I reared them and then released them back into the wild, because where I live up in the hills, where my parents live, it's a great possum releasing place. So she called me up when they recently had one brought in, and it was only one. So yeah, I've been looking after her the last few months, and she's so cute. I've probably spoiled her a little bit, but I'm starting to get her back into it's called enrichment, where they sort of learn different skills they would in the wild. So I put trees around like the curtains. I feel like I'm going down a few cool points, but but yeah, she's awesome. I just fed her some milk before I left. So yeah, she's really sweet and cute, but yeah, she will have to go back out, because it's only fair for her to be back in the wild. But yeah, I'm just trying to get her prepped at the moment, so we're in pre-season for the wild. And I'll be going back overseas on tour soon too, so she will need to but I think I've been training mum how to look after her too. Yeah, but
if she needs another mother, she can always stay. Oh my gosh,
yes. No, she's really cute. We also have five rescue joeys as well from Fauna Rescue. They're a bit bigger now too though, so my sister Georgia looks after them. So yeah, got a good connection with Fauna Rescue, and we've just done our bushfire benefit, which you guys are at, which was so cool to see, and we'll be able to announce how much we raised soon, but a lot of that money will be going to Fauna Rescue and the CFS. So yeah.
And it was a little bit awkward when we did see some of the AFLW girls up.
Oh, after that podcast, yeah.
Well, no, I felt like...
Did you come with a conclusion with what you guys both prefer?
No, our conclusion was I love the AFLW. I just don't think it should be called AFLM. That was my only... Mm. But you know what? If
that, yeah, because I couldn't tell. You guys have similar voice. I wasn't sure which one of you was the for and against.
No, Kate was for, and okay. Sophie and I seem to be against. Well, so when we listen to it, like...
Against, just... Against AFLM.
Changing the name, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. But they were so cool. I wanted Erin Phillips' shoes.
Oh, she's the best. They're the most awesome chicks. They've been so supportive of our band over the last couple of years, and come to our shows, and we'll come to the games. And yeah, it's so cool seeing these girls out there doing the female footy. And
you played female football too.
I did play a couple of seasons. I actually flew back from Ronan Keating, our last show with Ronan in Germany a few years ago, because it was our first year in the. Oh, sorry, that was my fault.
That's all right.
It was our first year at the Mount Lofty Devils in the Adelaide Hills, and we got into the grand final, and I was super jet lagged. We ended up losing by a point, which sucked, but like I was so into it. I remember like having my footy shorts with me overseas, and I'd wear them to bed, and I was all prepped. So yeah, I think it's so cool, and it's so awesome seeing so many girls out there killing it at sport and music and everything else as well. A lot of female leaders, and you guys as well, I think, are so inspiring too. Like us girls were listening to you overseas when we were on the road, and we just thought you were so hilarious, and it's just and like just so cool as well, like in all the stories you guys do and the people you talk to, I think is so
we'll send you $50 in the post.
it's dead set true though, and I think it's so inspiring seeing you guys going out and inspiring other women to start their own businesses and all that sort of thing as well.
Thank
so
you.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a fangirl of you guys. I was very nervous to do this one today.
Yes, Ella's our second biggest fan other than our mum, I think.
Yeah, oh no, I love it.
Of the show.
Oh no, just in general. Yeah. I'm saving up for the stepper machine at the gym, because it's never fun, but your podcast makes it fun. So I will listen to that at the gym later on.
Talking before kind of about the gender debate and equality,
yeah,
do you think that there are some challenges you guys face being young females that maybe male performers don't face in Europe or Australia?
Maybe sometimes I feel like it's almost been working it's been really good for us. I think there's no better time at the moment to be a female in in music, but just in anything. I think something we always were really adamant about with our music and just in general with ourselves was we don't want to be just good for a girl. We want to be good, which is actually the theme of a song that we're writing at the moment. But I think a lot of people are like, oh, you girls are good at guitar for girls, like kind of thing. And George used to get that, and she's an amazing guitarist. And I remember an old boyfriend of mine was like, you don't want to be walking in place and being like, oh yeah, they're all right because they're chicks, like that sounds decent. They wanted to say, wow, these girls are really, really good. And that was something that always stuck with me that he said. So I think that's been something that we've tried to, we think it's very important that everyone is equal, and like, you know, no matter what it is, with nominations, with awards or festival bills or anything, I think it's always good to have the best people. And you know, and it's great to have a lot of diversity as well, like having girls and guys or girls bands or just boy bands. Like, I think it's so important to have lots of diversity, but also have, especially for things just as yourself, just to be the best you can no matter what your gender is or your preferences or anything like that. Because I think that's sometimes we never want to be like playing the female card on anything. We want people to hear our music, and it could be a guy singing, even though it's clearly very much a girl, but we just want to be on an equal playing field. But it's been amazing, and there's a lot of great support systems out there for women. I was at a women's breakfast for music recently in Adelaide, and it was so cool seeing all the support and the women coming together. And I think you guys have addressed it too. It's about bringing girls up than, you know, beating them down or trying to compete against them, because we're all in it together and we're all feeling the same thing. So I think it's really important, like supporting each girls as well, but also not defaming men either, because there's a lot of great men out there as well that have been supportive of us too. So it wouldn't be fair for us to be like, screw the boys, because you know, we've had both help, like amazing help from both girls and boys. So
it's so good as well that you guys have that mentality, because I think that's so good for young women who listen to your music and love you guys to hear. And it's crazy, because it's funny when you were saying all of those points, it made me really think, because I never think, oh, they're just on the festival because they're a girl group, but I suppose all of those politics do come into it when they're choosing.
Like we didn't ever want to just be selected because we're a girl band. Like, obviously it's great to have as many girls on the bill as possible, because there's not that much representation of in some areas, but we also didn't want to just be there because we were girls. We wanted to be there because we were good enough to be there and worked hard enough and deserved to be there as well.
And something that Taylor Swift, our queen, touched on,
she's amazing.
She touched on last year, was the fact that as she approached 30, she felt like she was getting asked a lot of questions that male artists perhaps wouldn't get asked.
For sure.
Do you think that's something that happens with you guys? Obviously you're in your 20s at the moment, but do you feel that a little bit?
Definitely. I think we get asked our age a lot, which is fine, but I've never heard a boy band get asked their age. A lot of people ask about, when are you guys going to stop and start thinking about having children, which I was like, well, can't you do both? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I was like, I don't know what I'd look like with a pregnant bass player, but with my, I've got a little Hoffner now, so I can just pop that on top if that ended up happening. But
future partner can stay at home and look after the baby as well.
Well, it works, and I've seen so many amazing couples on the road do it. Like, you know, like Ronan and his wife, she had a little baby while he was on tour, and you know, obviously she wasn't playing, but you know, you can, if you've got a supportive partner and like a supportive group around you, you can do it. It's obviously going to be hard, but I think like there's a lot of stereotypes of what, and like people like to sort of tell you what you can and can't do, and when you're doing something a little different, there are those times when people like to sort of tell you, oh no, you can't do that, there's no way you can do that, when's the expiry date, which is something that's always sort of gotten under my skin a bit, because I'm like, well, why can't I do both, and why can't I do media, and why can't I do music, and why can't I do art but also have a possum at home, and also like to, you know, travel and do different things as well. So I think it's good this day and age we live in, and I'm very, very fortunate and lucky, and I'm well aware of that as well, that I've been lucky enough to be able to live this lifestyle, and it wouldn't be as easy for maybe someone else. But I think you've just got to have that mentality that you can do anything you want, you just figure out different ways to make it work and be creative with it.
That's so true though, that men do never get asked that. Can you imagine if they asked Harry Styles, okay, Harry, so when are you having a kid, and when is your career ending as a result of having a kid?
I had a German man that's like, first he told me that I shouldn't be eating the cake that Sven bought us, because he's like, you need to watch your figure as a woman. And I was just like, excuse me.
Oh my God.
But,
excuse?
Watch me eat this cake, mister. No, he was just joking around, but I think they sort of, there's sometimes that mentality with a few people. And then he was also like, oh, you know, like you're getting older, like your eggs are going to start drying up. Oh, and I was like, And you, like, I think saying that to a girl is quite rude, and it's also like, it's like, who are you to say that to me about, like, my, you know, what's going on inside, like, you know, I think that's quite a sensitive issue, and that's something in the last couple of years, as I've gotten into my later 20s, that people have sort of brought up about, like, doing the travel thing. But I think you just gotta brush it off, and I've like learned to deal with that and just, you know, not worry about what other people think and just do my own thing for now. So
It's good that you're sharing it too, because I'm sure a lot of people go through similar things, even in different career paths, where there's a lot of judgment and questions.
It makes me so mad that people can ask that kind of stuff. I mean, because we had our mum on the podcast a few weeks ago talking about,
I love that episode. I heard that was on the step of listening to that at the gym, actually.
Oh, she was so cute. But, you know, talking about all the private questions people asked her, and I feel like people think they can ask women anything, like, even being triplets, I remember heaps of people asked us if we got our period at the same time.
Been asked that as the girls as well, like, if we're all grumpy, they're like, oh, obviously, like, gee. But yeah, like, the girls, Georgia and Claire, are very good, and they just brush it off as well. Like, I sometimes might have a little hark up back.
It's that casual sexism though, isn't it? Yeah, it's everywhere.
It is. And you kind of just, like, sometimes you just gotta, like, yeah, cool, good on you, but then other times, like, this, I'm so defensive of, like, if anyone says anything rude to the girls or about us as a group, and even like if they say something to me, I'm quick to defend so quickly, because you just got to have each other's backs with that sort of thing. And and like, sometimes you get people from different, you know, like, they might have been brought up differently, and some people can't help what, you know, they've been brought up with, or what sort of morals they've been taught. But I think, yeah, like, I always try and be accepting from their eyes, but also, like, you know, just sort of in a polite way, just, you know, oh, yeah, maybe this and that, or just brush it off kind of thing. But each to their own, how they want to handle those kind of things, yeah.
Well, just lastly, to wrap this podcast up,
only
because we want to get into our next podcast. Oh, yeah. Hopefully you've got time to do, if everyone's listening. It's going to be all about answering some dating questions, which I'm so excited to do.
I have no idea if I'm any good at this,
feel like you're going to be amazing, Ella. Right. So the last question is, I suppose, what can we expect from the Germaines in 2020?
Yeah, so at the moment we're writing lots of songs. There's going to be a lot more songs about things that we're passionate about. We've always wrote about what we're passionate about, I think, this year as well, as we've changed as well as people in the group. So new songs, I think we've got more things happening overseas. We're still on our UK work visa, so we will be heading back over there soon. Touch wood with everything with coronavirus and things like that's definitely put a bit of a spanner in the works, but it's all right. We've just go down, like I said, you just be creative and find a different pathway. And then, but yeah, we will be heading back there for some tours and lots of festivals over summer. So if there's any UK or European people listening, I'd love to see you. So make sure you head to germainesisters.com or follow us on Instagram at germainesisters. And listen to us on Spotify. Spotify streams are very good. It's good for supporting artists as well. And hopefully see you guys there.
I feel like our listeners also need to check out your art page, because you're incredibly talented. You do such beautiful images of wildlife.
Do a lot of pet portraits. I think one week I had like 4 dash hound commissions. So sick of seeing the sausage dogs, but they were cute. Yeah,
that'll be Soph when she gets her sausage dogs. She's been talking about. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me. It was really nice.